Hopefully you'll get somewhere around Psalms. If you get the Psalms, turn right. It'll be there in a couple books. If you find yourself in Isaiah, Jeremiah, you need to turn left a little bit. And if that fails you, just open the index. It'll tell you what page it's on. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you'll stand with me together out of reverence for the Word of God. This is the last Sunday in a series we've been talking about celebrate and celebrating different things. We celebrated honor on Memorial Day. We celebrated mothers. We've celebrated life in general. And really, the goodness of God. Today, we're going to celebrate the seasons of life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a what? A season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then he lists a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be, notice this, exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God today and the light that it brings to this dark world. But especially, Lord, as it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as the children of God. Now, Lord, as we open it, I pray today that you would please give your children understanding. Pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to every heart and that you would have liberty in here. God, I especially ask that you'd help me now as I yield myself to you. Lord, I don't want to hinder your Spirit's movement in this place. And I pray that you would minister. I thank you for these that are here, and I pray that you would attend to their need. And I pray, God, that as we come before your throne today, that we would find the grace and mercy that we need to help in our time of need, specifically to that need, for the glory of God. We pray that today, those that are traveling and couldn't be with us, that you would give travel mercies, Lord, that you'd watch over them. And then, Lord, for us, as we leave here today, I pray that we would leave with something from the Word of God that would launch us into this new week. Lord, that we would be a light ourselves into this world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Summer always brings back memories for me going to what we used to call the public plunge to swim or playing baseball with my friends while arguing which baseball player we were going to be. Of course, in that day, it would have been Steve Garvey, David Lopes, Bill Russell, Ron Say, the Penguin, Dusty Baker, Kenny Landreau, Reggie Smith. All those people were the people that we would always say, well, I'm going to be this guy. And no, you can't be that guy. You were him last time or whatever. And so summer brings back all kinds of memories for me. Every day seemed to be another venture for summer sanity, whether it was in a pickup game of baseball or perhaps basketball or maybe even riding my bike for hours at a time through neighborhoods I didn't live in, or simply sitting on the banks of a pay-to-fish pond waiting for my pole to bend with the next whopper. All of it was an enjoyment for the moment in anticipation of the next as summertime brought a change of season. Then, all of a sudden, life changed on me. I grew up. I became employed, started paying bills and having children. I guess they call that today adulting. Then life changed again. My children grew up, got married, started paying bills, and they started having children. These, we know them as the seasons of life that come and go, just like spring and summer, and they require a change always. Now, the scope of our text before us reminds us that we live in a world of changes. The word season in our text, if you care to circle or highlight it, means literally an appointed time. And the word purpose is the intention of God's pleasure. So in every one of these couplets mentioned, these 14 couplets, you understand that they are appointed by God. And they are for God's pleasure, which means every change and transition that we experience in life has been given a time, or, if you'd allow me to use the Bible word, a season, and is inalterably fixed by God as well as his immaculate purpose in it. Now, the proof of all this, of course, is found in our text by the induction, as I called them earlier, of these couplets. Notice verses 2 through 8, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, all of these verses show us that man's life includes a variety of activities as well as a variety of experiences. And as you read them, there's no doubt that you have a connection to some, if not all. Our time on earth is marked by diversity, is it not? It's marked by fluctuation. It is not always the same. It is not always unchanging, or as we would like it to be, a monotonous routine. Now, isn't it interesting that though we try as much as we can to get into a routine or a schedule, if you will, as much as we like to get in a routine, we like to complain about it, right? We want the same, we don't want any change, but when we do, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat, we go to sleep, we get up, and we do that over and over, we're looking for a change, and yet when that change comes, we complain about the change. We are very unsatisfied people. In simple terms, a person's life is a variety of experiences and activities and events, listen, controlled by God. That's the whole point of the very first verse. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Solomon, which wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, who the Bible describes him as the preacher, is announcing that he's not only understanding but confessing the fact that God has been fully in control of my life, and what he wants all of us to know is the same thing, that he's in control of your life as well. All of the experiences are not left to chance. They are all a part of something wonderful, and that is that God has a plan in all of that. Now, all of us here today have gone through or are currently going through some type of transition, whether it's simply getting older and the limitations that come with that age, or watching your children grow into another stage of life. Every one of us is affected by these seasons, or if you will, these appointed times, and yet there is great comfort in knowing that the events of our lives are all in accordance with God's plan. Now, these seasons, if you just look at I'm getting ahead of myself here. In that truth alone, that they're all governed by God, we ought to be able to celebrate every season because they're planned by God. We ought to be able to give honor to the fact that God is in control and that change is meant for something for me. We ought to be able to do that, but we don't always see it that way, do we? We don't want to always see a transition in our life and whatever that transition is as something to honor, as something to lift up, as something to celebrate. Many times we find it inconvenient. Meantime, many times we find it hurtful. And so I want you to take your outlines this morning and I want you to notice three simple facts about the different seasons that we all face in a lifetime and how God wants us to take these principles and not only hide them in our hearts so we don't sin, but so that we could actually celebrate or praise God even in the seasons of life. First of all, let's just get to the reality of the burden of transition. The burden of transition. Every transition, or if you will, change, in our life brings with it three aspects. First of all, it's the physical aspect. You can't read verses 2 through 8 without thinking of the physical aspect of every single one of these couplets that God inspires. Within the appointed times and seasons, we understand that God is not only referring to two specific events listed, a time to be born or a time to die, time to plant, time to pluck, but also the entire range that's encompassed in between those. So between birth and between death, we understand that there's a whole lot of life that happens in there. In fact, you could argue that the rest of the verses are partly descriptive of that dash, if you will, between your birth date and your appointed time to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of life then between birth and death is that dash. And if you live long enough, you realize that dash is exhausting. You just read that and you go, oh my goodness, look. I haven't gone through all of my life, but I've gone through a lot of it in these last 29 years and watching kids grow up and dealing with from little children and what it means to go into the mind-boggling age of a teenager. I still haven't figured it all out. you go through that, and then you watch someone else come into your family, and then you go through the stage of life where you're not as young as you used to be, and you watch things change in your life, and you look at it and you go, man alive, as I, standing here 50 years old now, look back and go, man, I've lived a lot of life. Someone said to me last week, you know, 50 is a good age where you start giving yourself permission to be wise. Because you look back and you go, man, I've learned some things. And yet, what have we really learned? That life is exhausting, and that age can be very limiting, and that going through transition sometimes is not only sorrowful, but it's hard. The physical aspect of life, you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. I even got Will to smile on that one. You know you're getting old when you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't hardly get it going. Just like, what am I doing here? You know you're getting old when you look forward to spending a quiet evening at home. I've been there for about 20 years. You know you're getting old when your back goes out more often than you do. I can certainly understand that. You know you're getting old when your mind makes agreements that your body possibly cannot keep. You know you're getting old when you finally get it all together and then you can't remember where you put it. You know you're getting old when you burn the midnight oil at about 9 o'clock. You know you're getting old when the gleam in your eye is just the sun reflecting off of your bifocal. So there's a lot of things that you could say, wow, you know you're getting old when, but the fact of the matter is, change is life. And we all have to deal with that. When we get to certain aspects of our age, we go, whoa, man, this still soul gray marriage, this ain't what she used to be. And all of a sudden you start thinking, the other day, Scott and I were at the Memorial Day picnic. All we were doing was something very innocent called throwing a football. And we were throwing a football, and he was like, oh, man, my ankle. And I was like, man, my knee is killing me. And we didn't move 10 feet. It was unreal. Now, he's younger than I, and he was hurting more than I. I just want to say that out in public out loud. But the fact of the matter is, we just can't run, especially him, like we used to. We used to just be able to run out there. Remember when you were pulling hamstrings when you were 37 and all that? He's been injury-prone for a long time now. He was born old, but you know what I'm saying? There's a physical aspect of life. Now watch this. With that comes an emotional aspect of life. I want you to see this in verse 4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. Now with every physical transition comes an emotional attached to that transition. Watch your baby girl drive away and go to college. You'll be touched. When we dropped Ashley off at Bible college several years ago, nobody in the car said anything for 45 minutes. He said, what were you doing? We were crying. All of you? Yeah. All the way down to the littlest of us, we were all crying. Why? Because change hurts. Why? Because with every physical aspect of a season comes an emotional attachment to that. It doesn't matter whether she's going off to college or watching her drive away with some strange man out of my driveway called her husband. I was not happy, Bob. It was awful. Our emotions are strong, are they not? In a given transition of life, they are extremely strong. But listen, emotions were never designed to be our guide. So yes, there's going to be a time to mourn. And yes, there's going to be a time to weep. But there's also a time to laugh. And there's also a time to dance. These emotions were not meant to guide us in our life. In fact, emotions reveal our thoughts. And those thoughts must be governed by thoughts founded in truth before our emotions, listen, will ever change. I'll say that again. Emotions reveal our thoughts and must be governed by thoughts founded in truth before our emotions will change. Commit thy ways unto the Lord and thy thoughts will be established. Now, there's a physical aspect of this burden of transition. There is an emotional aspect. Just ask anybody that had a graduate this last week. There's going to be an emotional attachment with that. The Marquezes are moving. That's a transition. There's an emotional attachment with that. Anything that is change to the norm is going to have some kind of getting us off kilter out of our comfort zone. Which means, thirdly, there's always going to be a spiritual effect as well. Now, we get to determine the spiritual effect, how we respond to that transition, but it's still part of the burden. Everything we experience in this life has an impact on another appointed day. Just like God has ordained our lives to change with seasons, he has also appointed a day in which our response and our navigation of those seasons will be brought before him. Notice in your notes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look down at verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. What? Because there is a time for every purpose and every good work. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. This means that all of our lives have been appointed by God to meet at a predetermined place of victory and glory. That's God's expected end. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. In all that encompasses from the time that you are born until the time that you die, I have orchestrated it all, listen, for victory and for glory. Now, that's my expected end. Now, based on my pattern, on my playbook, I'm going to call you into account. Well, that's a burden, is it not? There's a physical aspect of change, but how I have responded to the 30 years of marriage and raising children is going to be called to attention one day. That's the spiritual aspect of the burden of transition. Secondly, I want you to see the balance of it. The balance of transition. Now, I want you to notice in each pair of the experiences, the words are exactly the opposite. You see that? There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up. A time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance. You just go back and forth, and they're the opposites, okay? Life is a balance. You should write this down. Life is a balance of positives and negatives. It's a balance, not an imbalance. Why? Because God is perfect. Amen. I'll say my own amens. I'll say it again. God is perfect. He is holy. So it's a perfect balance. Because you have not... There are no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. And I know because God is faithful that I'm not going to have a life that outweighs more of a positive than a negative. Just count your blessings, okay? Now, life is a balance of positive and negatives. Not only does your favorite team not win every game, but neither do you. So, when my kids say, especially one of them, the youngest, who will remain nameless, he says on occasion, now I've given you the gender, life is not fair. And that's not true. And if you get that in your mind and it sticks long enough, you'll begin to believe it. Life is fair. Why? Because God's in control of it. Was it fair when Jesus died? I don't think that it was, but I'm glad that he did. And the greatest good that could ever come came out of something that we would deem as unfair. But it was necessary. Now watch. Let's talk about the inclusion, letter A. Based on this list of opposites, positive and negatives, we understand that no human being experiences exclusively just positives or exclusively just negatives. There's no such thing. In fact, Solomon is stressing the point that God's plan for our lives includes ups and downs. How many have ever been through the ups? Anybody? How many ever been through the downs? Now look, why was there more people that said I've been through downs than ups? We've all been through the ups and downs. By the way, I want you to understand, birth of a child can be both an up and a down. Up that they're healthy. Up that God gave you a baby. Down that you don't sleep for about 2 years. Down that you got to be at their ever beck and call. Down that you got to change diapers. I remember when Ashley had her first dirty diaper that I was required to change. And I went and I changed it like this. My wife came in and said, what is your problem? I said, oh, what's the deal? Downer. Oh, I love her when she's clean. I love her when she comes out of the bath. I love her when she smells good. But when she smells icky, that's a downer. You see what I mean? Ups and downs. God has a plan for that. He's planned for the mountains and the valleys. He has a plan for the pleasures and the pain. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 1. Notice in your notes. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred exclusively by all that is before him. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and the same to the wicked. The rain comes to the just and the unjust according to the Bible. So the inclusions are in this balance, but I want you to see secondly the inspiration. Verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Everything beautiful. Now notice the ups and the downs he makes beautiful. In his infinite wisdom, God knows that we need to face good times and bad times that will stir us to pray and to draw closer to him. In the good times and the bad. Through such trials, we grow stronger and learn to trust him more and more. Therefore, both blessings and burdens are needed for God to complete his purpose in our life. For this reason, we've got to learn to accept both. Like a man I'm reading currently, his name is Job. The Bible says in Job 2 and verse 10, but he said unto her, speaking to his wife, after she said to her husband, why don't you just curse God and die? Our children are all dead. We've lost all means of our income. There's nothing left to live for, is what she's saying. This is what he said. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. He goes, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now that's amazing to me. That's a man that understood, listen, I came into this world with nothing. I was naked, and I'm going to leave with nothing in this world. I'm going to die naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord in spite of the ups and downs. Have you learned to accept that God knows what he's doing in all seasons or just in the good ones? I prefer spring. I like fall, but I prefer spring. I can dig winter, but I loathe summer. Anybody want to guess why? It's hot. And I think it's far more ways to stay warm in life than there is to stay cool in life. I don't like to be warm. So why don't you like to be warm? Because I don't like sweat. And I know ladies don't sweat, they glow. But when you finally realize that you perspire on occasion, then you probably don't like it either. Especially if you have curly hair and you're trying to hide it by putting a straightening iron through it and the humidity hits it and it goes, and then you go, I don't like it either. Okay. And my daughter took a picture outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina yesterday. That's for her birthplace. And her and her husband stopped on the way and it says, you know, Fayetteville, North Carolina. And that, of course, that's the home Fort Bragg and Pope Air Force Base. And I said, what's the weather like? She said, 90 degrees and humid. And I remember those days. The humidity is awful. You take a shower and you come out and you dry off and you're still wet. You're like, how did that work? I just dried all off and I'm still wet. So you dry off again and you're still wet. You think, well, the towel must be wet. Well, the towel's dry, you're wet and you stay wet. I hate that season. But listen, I don't get to pick them. They come spring, summer, fall, and winter every year. So whether I like it or not, seasons are going to come. And that's the importance. God says, listen, I've designed them. If you can accept the fact that I'm the one bringing the seasons, and you know the inspiration behind it, it's because I want to make it beautiful. And the only way you're going to see beautiful is if you see me in the season. You've got to look, and you'll find God controls all that we experience, which makes us unequally valuable above all the other creatures that God's ever created. He's done that for us. No other creature can state that. Nobody else gets to sing the song of the redeemed. We do. And we have the privilege of the light of truth that says, listen, in the season, whether you like it or not, whether it's light or dark, God is in it. And there's a purpose. Let me get you thirdly, and we're done. The blessing of the transition. Whether you're dropping off your little girl at college or she's driving away, or you're coming to grips with what you can no longer do, at that given moment, there's a struggle to find a blessing. You can struggle. Whatever time it is in here, whether you're weeping or mourning or dancing or laughing, whether you're building up or tearing down or embracing or not, there's a blessing to be found. The problem with our thinking at times is that we only use the word trial in the negative sense. Now listen carefully. It's normally associated with a tragedy or problem. In a negative connotation of life, we use the word trial. But our text reveals that every season in life has a purpose involved in it. Whether it's a birth or a death. Whether in killing or healing. Whether in tearing down or building up. Now, it's interesting to me that there's still an appointed time for a building up. Yeah, because you can think so highly of yourself, you don't care who's in control. You begin to think that every up is for you and every down is for everyone else. So we tend to use the word trial very loosely and I think errantly in tearing down or building up and gaining or losing and keeping or casting off. All of our lives, whether tragedy or prosperity, is still a test of our faith or our faithfulness. In fact, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Greek word for faith is the same Greek word for faithfulness. Which means when Paul said, I have learned both how to be abased and how to abound, he understood that the up in life in many times is harder to stay faithful to God than in the down of life. And all God's people said, amen. See, we have to be brought down so that when we look up, it's easier to remember who's in control. And when we're up many times, we're not looking up, we're looking down. And I'm thankful that I'm not as this sinner is. Oh, you see, it's all a trial of our faith. The blessing is that God can be glorified through the change of seasons in our lives when we remember and understand the reason for the changes. Now think about this. I don't like my kids growing up. I wanted Jenna to stay 3 years old. There's a picture in our hallway of her in a little brown dress that we took right down here at one of the photo studios. And she literally looks like an angel. And I thought, that little girl cannot ever grow up. And I was wrong. And then we had Brayden. The other day, there was a picture laying on the table of a baby, like an infant baby. And I was looking at it, I was like, whose kid's that? Why do I have a picture of somebody else's baby on my dinner table? I'm getting ready to eat. Why is that on there? Man, it wasn't cute. I was trying to figure out whose kid it was. Who do I know that's got an ugly baby? It was Brayden. I literally said to my family, who is this? They're like, Dad, that's Brayden. I was like, that is not Brayden. There's no way. I want them to stay little, don't you? Some of you are like, no, I wish they'd grow up. I'm tired of doing all this stuff. Trust me, when they get old, you're going to be like, man, I wish I had those years back. And it may be for a variety of reasons. Now, that change is not easy. And emotions are tied to those changes in time. And how we steward every single one of those transitions in life are going to matter. And God wants them to matter not later, but in the transition. Now, you won't really get it until later. But how you handle that transition is everything. Remember, He wants to make it beautiful then, not later. You don't want to look back and go, wow, that wasn't too bad. You want to enjoy it at the moment. God wants you to enjoy the transition, even if it's painful. Why? Because there's a purpose behind it. What's the blessing? What do we get out of this transition? What do we get out of the ups and downs of life? Whether it's prosperity or poverty, whether it's mourning or whether it's laughter or whether it's the birth of something or the death of something. How in the world, what do I gain from it? What's the blessing? Well, letter A, that I could know God in a very personal way. Remember, emotions reveal a whole lot and they make us very vulnerable. We feel things and we start, like we heard on Wednesday night, I feel this and I feel that. Well, those feelings are motivated and guided largely and every time by our thoughts. And if we think about ourselves rather than our Savior or the sovereignty of God, then our emotions will be different. Instead of accepting things by faith, we begin to try to hold on to things by doubt and by control, and it changes everything. To think that God would allow me to go through such transitions in life just so I could know Him personally, what a great God. Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. 1 John 2 and verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You see, everything I read in my Bible is that God desires to know me in a more personal way. How well do you know Him? Because there's going to be seasons of life that come for that personal reason. though our lives may change, our God never does. Our lives go through transition. God's never experienced transition. He's never changed. He's still faithful. He's still good. He's still holy. His grace is still there. His mercy endures to every generation. He is the same as he was yesterday, today, and he ever will be, according to the Bible. Though our lives may change, God does not. That means that we have a steady rock and an anchor to our soul that we can know personally and powerfully if we use the transition to draw close to him. Now, friend, I can tell you by experience, you can resist the transition and you can get further and further away from God. Or you can embrace the transition as something that God has ordained and you can draw nigh unto him, and guess what he will do? He'll draw nigh unto you as well. That's the beauty and the blessing of it. Think of the extremes of our list in the text, and perhaps you can think of someone, or maybe even yourself, when you experienced a transition. The question is, did you draw closer to God? Are you still that close? Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this. He understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Man, to think of this transition of my heart being ripped out for this reason, or me even being promoted and being elated for this reason, to see that God wants me to know him closer, and that is awesome to me. That his sovereignty is to draw me closer to him. I like that kind of a God, that he's that personal. There's another blessing in it all. It's an understanding his purpose. Yes, the Bible says in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. But notice in verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it. Notice this, that men should fear before him. God wants us to understand not just his control, but understand the purpose behind it. I may not know everything involved in God's providence, but I do know that he has a beginning and an ending to his work in my life. The fact that I do not and cannot speak to all of the sovereignty of God is proof of the sovereignty of God. The direct purpose of all the changes that occur in our life is to mold and perfect our heart to him so that others may experience him and that he may be glorified. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his counsel and his own will. All of my seasons are not to just weather me, they're to make me more like Jesus Christ. If you say, why is this happening? You should immediately go back to say, wait a minute, it's happening because God wants me to be like his son Jesus, because God wants me to grow closer to him, because God wants to be glorified even in the down times. That's a good part of understanding, but do we understand that? We're so quick to ask why, but we never are quick to listen why. We're never letting God respond to the why. Old age and all that comes with it can be actually the most rewarding period of life. In fact, the Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. For those who have found the satisfaction of a loving and close relationship with a heavenly Father through faith in his son Jesus, the sunset years can truly be labeled as the golden years. In fact, a man by the name of Henry Durbinville, I recently purchased two books of his. In his book called The Best Is Yet to Be, he wrote this, and I quote, I feel so sorry for folks who don't like to grow old. I revel in my years, they enrich me. I would not exchange the abiding rest of soul, the measure of wisdom I have gained from the sweet and bitter and perplexing experiences of life, nor the confirmed faith I now have in the love of God for all the bright and uncertain hopes and tumultuous joys of youth. Indeed, I would not. These are the best years of my life. The way grows brighter. The birds sing sweeter. The winds blow softer. The sun shines more radiantly than ever before. I suppose my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is being joyously renewed day by day. That's a man who understands that the perplexities of season were meant for something. And he's not going to regret and look back and say, man, I just wish I did. I wish I had. He's going to glory in the fact that he is who he is by the grace of Almighty God. Can you do that today? Because if you can, then you can celebrate the seasons of life. To me, that sounds like someone who's learned from every experience in life to celebrate his relationship with God. To celebrate God's purpose in all of it. And that's why we meet. Is to say and be renewed again and say, oh yeah, I remember now. This life is not about me. This life is about my God and my response to that loving, providential God that created me. Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I know there are a variety of families in this room that are going through transition, myself included. And God, it's during these times that we can either live frustrated or we can live by faith. We can either come to the sovereignty of God or run from it. We can embrace the change or we can resist it. God, you know the changes that have come into my life in these last 10 or 12 years, and you know when I have done both. God, to the detriment of my faith, many times my emotions have had the best of me. I would not ask that for anybody in this room. So God, today I'm asking that you would help. Lord, regardless of the transition, regardless of what season it is in life, help us to be completely confident and safe and secure in your control. God, take it from us. Please forgive us where we've doubted you. Forgive us where we've questioned you. We sang even this morning, who can question you? No one's going to teach you. No one's going to ask you to justify yourself. You need no justification. Lord, that's why you sent Jesus. It's because we do. Lord, I pray today that you'd meet with people in their season. Help them to be able to give an account of their thoughts. Help them to track their thoughts. And God, deliver us from thoughts that are contrary to Scripture. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you this couple of questions. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd be in heaven? Has there ever been a time when you personally came to Christ and asked him to save your soul? Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that. I don't know if I died suddenly today that I'd be in heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick and put it down? I don't know for sure if I died today I'd be in heaven. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Christian, what season is it in your life? Is it a move? Is it a birth? Is it a death? What time is it? Do you understand that it's an appointed time? Do you understand that according to Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 3 that there's a specific purpose in it? Are you willing to accept it? I pray that you would. And I pray the grace of God would shower down on you. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, with nobody looking, Pastor, I'm going through a season in my life and I want to give God glory in it. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Pastor, I'm going through a transition in my life. There's a change. Just slip up your hand real quick. Doesn't matter what the change is. I want to glorify God in it. I see those hands. You can put them down. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would embrace it, that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. That you would be fruitful into every good work. Increase in the knowledge of God. That's the goal. In a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have the piano play. I'm going to have Brother Ayonda sing. just a verse, a stanza of our invitation song. After I'm done praying and he begins to sing, if God's touched your heart today and you need to spend some time thinking about this transition, praying through it, I would invite you to this old-fashioned altar just to bow the knee and to say to the Lord whatever is on your heart so that you could leave here with not only just a greater understanding, but a closer walk with Jesus. Would you stand together with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Heavenly Father, I come before you now and I ask in Jesus' name for these especially that raised their hand, God, they're in some kind of transition in their life. Some change is taking place. And God, we understand that it's all a matter of your plan. Whether it's an up or whether it's a down, it is all with a purpose in mind. God, my prayer first is that you would give them wisdom. I pray that they would seek after her and find her so that discretion could keep them and protect them, that prudence would help them to make right decisions during this time, that they would not, Lord, allow emotions to be involved. And certainly there's an aspect of it, but God, we can't allow our emotions to lead us. And so I pray that you'd help them to think on things that are pure and just and holy and true, things that are of good report, things that bring virtue, Lord, so that they could be guided by truth. And I pray, God, secondly, for grace. They need so much grace. And I pray today as they humbly come before you that they would have that grace sufficient for their need. I pray, God, that you'd be merciful to them. I pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray that as they walk close to you and take you by the hand, God, that they would find that peace that passes all understanding. As requests be made known unto you today, I pray that you would comfort hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed.